Welcome. This is Christiana Care's Rehab Podcast Series. I'm Melanie Cole, and today we're discussing rehabilitation services for Parkinson's disease. Joining me is Lori Scott. She's an occupational therapist with Christiana Care Rehab and the assistant manager of the Springside outpatient location. Lori, it's a pleasure to have you join us today. First, let's start. Tell us a little bit about Parkinson's disease and the effects of living with it on speech and motor function.
So Parkinson's disease is a progressive neurological disease. And what it does is it affects the substantia nigra, which is a part of the brain that controls your movement. So what that does is it helps with the production of dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter. I'm getting very technical on you right now, sorry. And what that does is that is the gatekeeper of the different neurotransmitters in the brain. So they're like the coordinator for the millions of nerves and muscles that are involved in movement. So what happens is there's a degradation of the substantia nigra, and that reduces the amount of dopamine produced, which makes the neurotransmitters not work properly. And then it leads to the symptoms that we typically see. So we'll see slowed movement, we'll see tremors, we'll see tightness of muscles called rigidity, you'll see balance issues and instability. But the most common one that people see is the tremor. That can be a typical first symptom that people notice. These symptoms, the slowed movement and the rigidity, you know, predominantly, they're what's going to cause reduced volume of speech. So someone will speak very softly. You'll see the shuffling gait, where they aren't able to pick their feet up. They walk much slower. You'll see reduction in arm swing. So they're not able to swing their arms when they walk, which does feed into some of the postural instability and the balance issues. And that makes everything a little bit harder. It makes it harder to communicate. It makes it harder to move. It makes it harder to do their daily tasks like getting dressed, taking a shower, participating in community events, and doing things that they enjoy.
So then how does occupational therapy help patients with Parkinson's? What do you do? What are you trying to accomplish with patients?
What I tell patients when I meet them is that part of my goal and my lot in life, so to speak, with the Parkinson's population is to try to give them back some of the things that Parkinson's took away. So the primary goal is to improve their life overall. If they love to golf, then we'll try to look at golf. If they love to be able to do scrapbooking and crafts, then we'll look at those types of things. If their only goal is to be able to take care of themselves and play with their grandchildren, then that's what we'll focus on. And in that process, we use a variety of things to help them. One of the big things, no pun intended, is the LSVT Big program, which is the Lee Silverman voice technique. There is a motor component, which is the big component, as well as the loud component, which is the voice component. And that started almost 25 years ago, if not longer. And it looks at recalibrating the brain. So this reduction in neurotransmitters makes the person think that they're moving at a normal grade of movement or speaking at a normal voice. But what they're doing is they're functioning at a much lower state. So if you think about the pain scale, we all know the pain scale, 0 being no pain, 10 being, you know, the worst pain ever. You look at that on a movement component, 0 meaning there's no movement and 10 meaning they're working really hard and they're moving really big and things are working exaggerated and almost like Frankenstein-like. We might perceive normal movement at a 5. 5 is normal for people. You're walking normally, you're talking normally, your voice production is normal. People with Parkinson's feel as though they're functioning at a 5, but what the outside world sees is like a 2 to a 4. So they think they're moving fine, but what the world sees is different. And the brain doesn't get that disconnect. So LSVT looks to try to recalibrate that. We make them work really big. We make them talk really loud. They feel ridiculous a lot of the time. But in doing those exercises repetitively, it really helps to recalibrate the brain and make them safer, move bigger, move more normally. And it just makes their lives so much easier. And a lot of it is without them having to think about it, which is great.
What an interesting program, and I love the way you describe it. So does it carry over? Have you seen that it works and carries over? And what do you ask them to do at home? Are the families involved? Do they work on these things at home as well? Speak about a little bit more of how it expands into their daily lives.
Well, the expectation when they start an LSVT program is that they're going to be performing the exercises twice a day, every day. They're structured exercises. They work at different movements, different ways that the vocal cords work with changes in pitch, ability to modulate your voice for different situations. These exercises are performed on a twice a day basis. That's the expectation. We don't always get that, but we try for that. And if they do those exercises every day, you will see good carryover if it is done every day. You will notice if someone has a backslide. We have people come in for tune-ups all the time where, you know, it's been a busy 3 months or so. I haven't been doing my exercises, and you see them come in at their previous state where they're not moving as big or as normally as they were when we discharged them. But a tune-up definitely helps. They come in, they do a shortened course of therapy and get back on track, and they can carry that over. The exercise and the carryover component, I can't stress enough. You know, exercise is as important as the medications that people get, the Sinemet, the carbidopa levodopa that helps them with the neurotransmitters. The exercise is equally as important and really helps to keep people moving longer. And that's really important.
Well, I certainly agree with you. And how do you work with the families? Tell us a little bit about how they're involved as well.
Family involvement is huge, especially if you have people who have other issues like, you know, age-related memory loss or even Parkinson's-related memory loss. They may need some help with the exercises. Teaching them how to cue the patients and cue the people to, if they're walking, and instead of saying, come on, hurry up, you know, cueing them to walk bigger, or if they're soft in their voice, cueing them to talk louder. We may teach them compensations. If you have someone who has a significant tremor, teaching the families how to cue them to work through that or to modify their environment to make them safer, give them adaptive equipment to make them more successful if the tremor is too much for people to function in certain ways. The family is huge in the carryover and also in just the overall health of the person being treated with Parkinson's.
Lori, this is such great usable information for listeners with loved ones that have Parkinson's. Do you separate those motor issues that you're talking about with non-motor symptoms like memory? You mentioned memory and thinking. And is that all included in how this works? Because memory and thinking are a big part of this disease.
It's all pretty integrated. It's very hard to tease out one from the other without the ability to think and utilize the information. A lot of times the effectiveness isn't as great. Sometimes it's a question of how you present things, you know, not over-cueing someone. If you have one of the hallmarks of LSVT is there's not a lot of talking, which for me is a challenge because I'm a talker, but there's not a lot of verbal cueing involved with it. It's very short, succinct ways of speaking to the patient to encourage them to do what you want them to do. And a lot of times with Parkinson's, there is a processing disconnect between receiving information through their ears, processing it, and then, you know, doing what we're asking them to do. So keeping things simple, and that's, again, something you can carry over with the family, keeping the instructions simple and the movements more organic and more driven by the brain and not by, I have to think about, I have to move my foot an inch forward, I have to make sure I pick up my heel, I have to make sure that I reach in this specific way, I have to turn my body. The more cognitive you make it, the harder it is for a patient to carry it over. So really, those motor and non-motor, like the memory and thinking, they're really integrated intimately in this disease.
Please wrap it up for us with your best advice, a summary of everything that you've told us today and what you would like listeners to know about occupational therapy, what you do for a living, and Parkinson's disease.
The thing that people with Parkinson's need to know is, one, they're not alone. They have a support system that's not just family and doctors, and sometimes I'm sure they feel like they're being surrounded by healthcare professionals because there is a lot to do with that. Therapies can help in a multitude of ways. Even in the earlier stages of Parkinson's, getting into the Big and the Loud program, getting educated on how you can adapt how you do things to be more successful, being educated on exercise and how important that is for continuing mobility and engagement in the world is really important. And as far as occupational therapy goes, like I said, our goal is to really give people back what Parkinson's has taken away. So we want them to be able to play with their grandkids. We want them to be able to take take care of themselves and shower independently. We want them to be able to go out to dinner with family and not have to worry about their tremor affecting them being able to feed themselves in public. And we want to make sure that they're able to function well enough that they don't stumble into depression and have anxiety every time they try to leave the house. You know, our main goal in rehab is to bring these people back to as close to normal as we can and to allow them to be as productive and as active as they want to be and can be for as long as they can.
Thank you so much, Lori, for joining us today and sharing your expertise. What a wonderful program that you are using there at ChristianaCare Rehab for Parkinson's disease patients and their families. This concludes this episode of ChristianaCare's Rehab Podcast Series. To learn more about rehab services at ChristianaCare, please visit ChristianaCare.org/rehab to get connected with one of our providers. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all the other ChristianaCare podcasts. For more health tips and updates, please follow us on your social channels. I'm Melanie Cole.